Take that. Where's Robert at? Robert, I had no idea you were so famous around here. I'll tell you what a blessing. Anyway, poor Robert. I'll tell you. Everyone say poor Robert.
Poor Robert.
They don't mean that. I'll tell you much. You know what? They must have made this pulpit for Brother Armacost. I feel like my notes are at my knees. And so, anyway, praise the Lord. Hey, now, you all, how many can remember when this was a basketball court? Anybody? Oh, there's several of you. Several of you. You know, this brings back memories. Of course, there's no basketball court, but it was a lot of fun, and we did a lot of things in here. And that was before you had another gymnasium, so everything was done in here. And so, anyway, it was a lot of fun. All right. Well, praise the Lord. This is chapel. Are you guys excited? You are not, but that's all right. All right, I'll tell you what. Grab your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15, and we'll look at a couple things together. All right, now, I want to illustrate if you don't mind. So can I get, you two fellas, are you capable? I would have sat on the front row if I were you, but. Are we going to have another night like last night with these two? Could you bring me that tent and bring it up here? Now, it's together. Somebody did it for me, so hopefully it stays together. And bring it up here if you don't mind. Put it on the, there you go. Good. Appreciate it. All right. I don't know if we can fit it up here, but I'm going to try. If you can go ahead and get it up here if you don't mind. Can I move this chair? Is that all right? All right. Move this chair out of the way. All right. Good. All right. I think that's not too bad. I think. Here, do me a favor. Hold on a second. Grab that for a second here. Let's move this one too. I have always wanted to rearrange furniture. All right. Good. All right. No, it's not going to fit. You need to move that table, too, if you don't mind. Good. All right. All right. Now, is it going to stay up there? It's going to be close enough. All right. Now, Robert, since you were such a big help last night, I do need somebody. All right. So, Robert, come on up here for a second here, if you don't mind. All right. Come on, Robert. Hurry up. Come on. Get. Come on. Robert, how old are you? 29. If you told me I didn't know, there would have been issues here, okay? All right, have a seat if you're not. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. You actually get to be God the Father. Is this bad typecasting? The answer is yes. All right, good. All right, praise the Lord. Anyway, I do need your help, and again, I'll try not to embarrass you too much. All right, now, no, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to look at Luke 15. Now, listen, this is a very familiar story this morning. It's something you've already heard. You've heard it over and over and over. I grew up in a Christian home, went to Sunday school, so on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service. How many of you have been raised in a Christian home all your life? Raise your hand. You've heard it all. And what happens is we kind of get into that, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, stand up, sit down, you know, touch your feet. I don't know. But we just get kind of almost lackadaisical in our Christianity because we've heard it so much. And I don't want that to happen this morning. And I know the Lord has something. I want to teach on this particular passage. And again, I'm not going to spend time on the whole passage. I just want to deal with one thing this morning. And hopefully the Lord will get us started. I'm just going to use him. I'm not going to tease him this morning. And I mean that. I just want to use him as a picture in the story of the Father this morning. And since he's the oldest person in here, we can use him this morning. And he's actually not the oldest. Amen. Brother Haiti's probably the oldest this morning. And how old are you, Brother Haiti? How old are you? 82 years old. Man, 11. And I remember Brother Haiti when he was 72. No, that had been 30 years ago. So back then. And anyway, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming out this morning. All right, young people, let's pray. If you pray in your heart, and we'll get started. Father, thank you again for letting us be in chapel this morning. Lord, it can be just another chapel, or Lord, you could meet with us. We don't want it to be the same. Lord, I ask that every service that's held in this auditorium, Father, that you would speak to hearts, and Lord, may today not be an exception. Father, give us now the words to say. May you be honored and pleased, and Father, may not say anything that would displease you, and Lord, and help the young people, Father, to get the thought this morning. Father, they'd be the Christian and the servant you want them to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, grab your Bible now. Look at Luke chapter 15. Let me just read a couple things with you here. Verse number 1 says this. It says, then drew near unto him all the, what's the next word? Publicans and, what's the next word? Sinners, for to hear him. And the word? Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. All right, now, young people, think about the context of this particular passage here. You have these Pharisees and these scribes. Scribes are the doctors of the law. Pharisees are people who thought they were better than everybody else. And they come to Jesus, and they're looking at Jesus because Jesus was spending time with sinners. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're raised in a Christian home or not. You ought to be glad God spends time with us, all right? Because that's exactly what we are. So then Jesus responds to their thinking, not their speaking, their thinking. Look at verse number 3. And he spake, singular now, this parable unto them, saying. So we often look at chapter number 15 as three different parables, but the Bible says this parable, singular, which means all three of these parables really are one parable, all right? And I'm not going to teach the other parables this morning, but verse number 3 down through verse number 7, it's the parable of the lost sheep. Verse number 8 through verse number 10, it's the parable of the lost silver. And then verse number 11 through the end of the chapter, it's the parable of the lost son. And again, all of these were one parable, and it was in response to Jesus talking to the Pharisees and scribes who were criticizing him for spending time with sinners. Are we together so far? Say amen. Amen. All right, so we're all together. Now, the parable, now you say, what's the tent up here for? I want to illustrate this parable of the son this morning because I think there's an important truth, and I want you to see this. So let's start in verse number 11, and let's read a little bit. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, church family, young people, I'm sorry. I want to, if you don't mind, a little bit act the story out for just a little bit. Now, you're going to be the younger son. You're going to be the elder brother. All right, you guys come up here, put your stuff down, stand up. Good job. All right. Now, this is the son. You're nervous. Are you nervous?
Am I nervous?
Yeah, you look nervous.
Am I supposed to be?
Are you supposed to be? Let's see. You're the younger son. No, you got the good part. You should be nervous. All right. Now, the younger son was the one that went into the far country and lived his life like he wanted to live it. Am I correct on that? Yes or no? All right. If not, I'm correct. You're not. Okay. So that's right. All right. Now, this is the elder brother. This is the Pharisaical, you know, cast down the person who's falling type of person. Is this good typecasting?
Yes.
All right. Good. All right. So now, elder brother, come up. You two come over to here. Come over to the father. The father's standing over here. And the Bible says that the younger brother says, Dad, I want you to give me what's due me. I want you to give me my inheritance. Now, the Bible says that he gave them their inheritance. So he divided and gave them their. But the older brother stayed with dad. All right? So you just sit right there if you don't mind for a moment. So the younger brother, we're going to go to the far country because this is going to be the world and the girls are over here. So this is the world. We know what women are like. The Bible talks a lot about the strange woman. And so he goes into the far country. And he spends his money on riotous living. By the looks of these girls, I'd go somewhere else. But anyway, on riotous living. He spent it all right? Now, the Bible says that after he had spent everything, he doesn't have anything. So he needs something. So he has to go work with the pigs. Now, they'll be back here as the pigs, all right? Right here next to Brother Amos, all right? Now, so he's feeding the pigs, all right? Now, he thinks to himself, this is ridiculous. I ought to be at home. The servants at home are eating a whole lot better than I'm eating. All right? So he goes through this. Now, by the way, the Bible says, and when he makes a couple statements. One of the statements is no man gave unto him. Now, young people, I don't know if you know of anybody that has gone the far country route. It's not a good route. Now, you're in church right now. You're in school right now. You're in the atmosphere right now. And part of the reason you're there is because somebody placed you there. But the day's coming very quickly that nobody will place you there. You will place yourself there. You have to decide. Now, I will say this for the elder brother, even though he was Pharisaical, the elder brother stayed in the right place. Hey, I want to tell you, freedom is going to come sooner or later. Now, right now, you don't have freedom. They tell you what to wear. They tell you when to get up. They tell you when to go to bed. They tell you to do your schoolwork. They tell you everything. But the day's going to come, you're going to make your own decisions. And all of this is in training till you get a habit of life, that once you get that habit of life, you say, hey, yeah, this is the right way. Now, this young fella that's in the story, he thought to himself, hey, listen, I don't like the rules. I don't like dad telling me what to do. I don't like me having to live this atmosphere, wear these clothes, do this thing. So he decides, hey, listen, I want to get away from it all. Now, I want to tell you, when I grew up in my years here at Fairhaven, because we used to come for years to preaching conference, and that was the big deal. There was no empowered youth back then. It was preaching conference, and young people from all over the United States came to preaching conference. And I, as a young person, we looked forward to preaching conference because preaching conference was the highlight of the year. And we would come here, and teens from all over would come here. And it was a great time. But, you know, the choice is going to come. It's not going to be a matter of so many places. It's just a matter of you're going to have to choose. So what I was saying with that a moment ago is we met a lot of people at preaching conference that are no longer serving God, not in church ever. And you know what? It's interesting. Now that I'm 47 years old, the end of the story eventually comes about. There's people who have gone that way and they've been divorced once, maybe twice. There's people that have gone the far country route and living really in poverty. There's people who have gone the far country route and have broken every relationship. It's not a good road. So you have to choose that. So anyway, he did not choose that. So the younger brother decides to go that route. He ends up, doesn't have anything, he's feeding swine. But then he comes to a place. Now, I tell you, there's two statements. Statement was, number one, is no man gave to him. And I want to tell you, God will get you to that place. Praise the Lord, you're not there right now. And I hope you never end up there. But he came to himself. Now, here's the second phrase. When he came to himself, gives us the idea, when he said, hey, listen, I have sinned. Again, we'll read the passage in a second. He said, I have sinned. And I've come back. He comes back to the father. And he says, I want to get things right. All right. Now, the younger son, come back this direction. He begins to come back. We'll read it in a second. You know the story. It's very familiar. The Bible says that the father saw him. Can you stop for a second? Saw him and ran to him. All right. Now, because I know what your coordination is, I would walk if I were you. All right. So come on right now here for a second here. All right. I'm glad you let me give you a hard time. All right. So by the way, it's the only time in Scripture the father ran. It's the only time. So the father, again, God gives us the indication that God cares, loves, and wants sinners to come back, all right? Of course, that's the parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost sheep. So he runs, all right, run very carefully. All right, so he runs to him. Interesting. All right, so, all right, now, before we go any farther, look back at your Bible. Here's what it says, okay? All right, in verse, let's just pick it up in verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. So when he's feeding the swine, he says, I'm going to tell him I sinned. I'm going to tell him I'm no worthy to be your son, and I'm going to ask him to let me be a hired servant. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hey, could you do that for me? Robert, you're supposed to be a help in life. Verse 21, it says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, I want you to notice what in verse 18 and 19, he said he was going to tell his father that he had sinned. He was going to tell his father that he's no more worthy to become a son. And he was going to tell his father, can he be one of the hired servants? You'll notice that when he's speaking to his father, before he can get out of his mouth, I just want to be a servant. Look what happens now in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it upon him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. A person once said that the only person that didn't like the younger son coming back was the elder brother. That's not true. The fatted calf didn't like it either. All right? So in verse 24 it says, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, verse 25. Hey, go ahead and come on over here, dad and younger brother. Come over for a second here. All right, so they come back to the house. Now, the elder brother was actually out working in the field. Just go by the American flag over there. He's out there working in the field. Dad is up here. Now, Dad, I do not have a full tent, okay, but for illustrative purposes, the Bible says that you're coming back to the house here, and I need you to go in the house. All right, so I want you both to come here for a second here. All right, let's see here. All righty. All right, so. Now, in a normal situation, they had tents back there, and they didn't have necessarily houses, but they had tents. And normally, tents are not this small. Tents are big, but is the cheapest thing I could find at the moment. So my wife ran to the store this morning and got me a tent. This is what she found. All right, so now I need you both to get in the house. All right? I'm going somewhere if you'll just stay with me for just a little bit. All right? All right. That's awkward. Okay, now, verse, I don't want you to miss the point, all right? All right, verse 25. Here's what it says. It says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. How many think we really ought to act this out right now? All right, verse number 26. I can see Robert dancing. Verse 26. Verse 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Now look at this phrase. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, and I that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is and was found. Now, young people, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Come over here for a second here, elder brother. The elder brother comes back and would not go in the house. Now, I'm sorry for the size of the tent, but I want you to try to picture what's going on here. Is the elder brother would not go inside the house. Now, I find it interesting that the father came out. You think about the story itself. The father never went after the younger son to the far country, but he did come out to the elder brother to get him. All right, so dad, come out here for just a second here. So the father comes out, and he entreats the elder brother, and he says, hey, listen, Pastor Dameron, I'm sorry. He just volunteered, all right? He volunteered, all right? And so, well, he really didn't volunteer, but he did. All right, so, but he comes out to the elder brother, and the elder brother says, hey, he says, what do you think you're doing, dad? I said, you gave him his inheritance. He goes to the far country. He wasted on a riotous living, and now he comes back, and you're throwing a party? What's the problem? Now, young people, you already understand the whole scenario because you went back to verse number one already in your mind, and you thought to yourself, that's exactly what the Pharisees and scribes were doing. How come Jesus is sitting down, and he's spending time with all these sinners, all these publicans and sinners? And so Jesus gives this parable to show them this is exactly why, and this is exactly what you're doing. All right, now, to me, here's the key, and I saw this recently, and it was amazing to me, that the elder brother would not come in the house. Now, young people, can I tell you that in the house is where the father was? In the house is where the younger brother was. And I look at you, and you've been, and you're, I can almost relate to you. I was a preacher's kid. My dad pastored the same church for 33 years. I grew up in a Christian home. I've never been in a public school. I've been to the Christian school all my life. I've gone to college, Christian college. I've been in the atmosphere all of my life. And I got thinking about the younger brother and the elder brother. And here the younger brother is the one, yes, he was raised in a good home. And yes, he was raised with all the atmosphere. But he came to a time in his life, he decided, hey, listen, I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of being regulated. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go live my life for myself. I'm going to do whatever I want. And we would all say that's bad. But when he finally comes to himself, again, showing him the forgiveness of God, and he comes back and he's in the house, the only person that wouldn't go back in was this guy right here. And I look at you this morning, and I don't know you, but I understand where you're coming from. And there are some of you in here this morning that you are in one of those areas of life. You are either one day, not now, but one day you'll either be in the far country, or you're going to be outside the house, or you're going to be inside the house with the Father. All right, Dad, do me a favor, jump back in there real quick for a second here. Jump back in there. Now, still awkward. What I want you to see this morning is simply this. Where the Father is where you're supposed to be. If I can say it's really a picture of ungodliness, carnality, spirituality. You know, I believe that this morning, you're in Fairhaven Baptist Academy and Fairhaven Baptist College. You are not in the far country, and praise God for it. That's the wrong kind of music. It's the wrong kind of dress. It's the wrong kind of association. It's the world. You're not supposed to have anything to do with that. And I'm thankful you're not there. But you know what? I really believe that inside the auditorium here at the chapel this morning, there are a bunch of you that are either here or there. You're either in with the Father or you're just outside where the Father is. Because the elder brother came back to the house, but not in the house, and was very critical of his brother. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of young people that you're not in the far country, but you're not in the house. And you know what you need to do? You need to get in. You need to be where the Father is. You ought to be want to be close to the Father. You ought to want to be where the Father can speak to you. You ought to want to be where the power of the Holy Spirit is upon your life. You ought to want to be where you have direction in life. That's where you ought to want to be. But the truth of the matter is, we've got a lot of good young people that are here instead of in there. And you're not in the far country. You're not in sin. You've got the right kind of clothes on. But the truth of the matter is, your heart's not where it ought to be because you're not where the Father is. Now, I think there's three things in this passage here that tells us why he wasn't in. And I think it's the same three reasons why good Christian kids are not in. All right? Look at the first one here with me. If you got your Bible, I want you to jump down to verse number one. Let me just point it out here. Verse 1 says this, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the," say the word, "Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them." Hey, fellows, ladies, what did the Father do? Let me back up. What did the Father kill to eat for the young man? All right, what was the complaint of the Pharisees about Jesus? That he ate with publicans and sinners. Hey, can I tell you what causes a young person not to be in with the Father, but be outside? I want to tell you, number one, it's because they're Pharisaical. It's Pharisaical. In other words, I'm better than, or I'm not as bad as, so I'm okay. Okay, you got a King James Bible in your hand, but you're not with the Father. Okay, ladies, you got a dress that's past your knees, but you're not with the Father. Fellas, you got your hair cut off your ears, but you're not with the Father. You come from a good family, but you're not with the Father. Hey, can I tell you that getting inside the tent is a choice that only you can make? Nobody can make you spiritual. Nobody can make you close to God. Nobody can make you have a close fellowship with God. Only you can do that. But I want to tell you, if you get to the place where you're satisfied, I obey the rules. I love my parents. I'm doing right. No, if you're not careful, you get Pharisaical and you don't even know you're Pharisaical. I'm not like them. Young people, it's not about what you're not like. It's about who you're like. The reason you ought not to be on the outside is because inside the tent is where the Father, your relationship fellowship, all right? Relationship happened the day you got saved. I'm a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, I was 11 years old, sitting in the fourth row back. Preacher was preaching on hell, scared me half to death, came forward, sat on the front row, somebody opened the Bible, showed me that I was a sinner, bound for hell, needing a Savior, accepted Christ, my Savior. I've said that I don't know how many times, just like I just now. But I got saved. Relationship began. But can I tell you something? When relationship began, fellowship didn't begin unless I chose to. Fellowship begins when you read your Bible and ask God, speak to me. Fellowship begins when you spend time in prayer and ask God, teach me. Fellowship begins when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ because you don't want them to go to hell, not because you have to go. Do you know how many soul winning buses I got on as a teenager? And I had no feeling in my heart for anybody being saved. 1 o'clock, every Saturday morning, teen soul winning, we all show up, two teenagers get together and have a good old time. We didn't care about lost people at all. And I want to tell you, there's a big difference if you're on the outside. But by the way, I went soul winning every Saturday. Every Saturday we went soul winning. I had the right kind of clothes. I had the right kind of home. But I want to tell you what I was. I was on the outside of the tent from all of my teen years. I was on the outside of the tent because I wasn't just like everybody else. I'm different. But you're only different because somebody's making you different. You're not different because you choose to be different. I'm not condemning you, but I'm telling you, there's a bunch of you. The only reason you are what you are is because of rules. The only reason you are what you are is because your parents make you. You know what the problem is? The problem is you're the ideal elder brother. You stayed in the church. You stayed in the right home. You've got exactly what mom and dad told you to wear. But the truth of the matter is you haven't chose to get inside the tent. Because I want to tell you, inside the tent is where fellowship with the Father is. Inside the tent is where you get close to God. Inside the tent is where you get the power of God. So I see, number one, the reason the elder brother didn't get in is because, number one, he's pharisaical. Look at second thing quickly in your Bible there. In verse number 2, I don't have time really to do this, but verse 2 says this, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Now, when it says this man receiveth sinners, who were the Pharisees being critical of? Jesus Christ. He said, this man receiveth sinners. They were being critical of Christ. I want you to look at verse number 20. I want you to look at the heart of the father in the parable. Verse number 20 says this, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, young people, I'm not going to spend a long time because I'm thankful that I don't feel trapped with time. If I get done right now, I have liberty to do that. Some of you are saying, please. So time's not the issue, but I do want to say this morning that when it comes to the elder brother, it's a picture of us as Christian kids. Because number one, we can become very pharisaical, but number two, we can go through Christian life but not have the Father's heart. Here's what I mean by that. Could you guys come out here for exercise? Get out here for a second. All right, come over here a second. Hey, go back over to the far country if you don't mind. Hey, I've got to switch the pig place because your pastor's there now. Let's see. Let's find another pig place. All right, come back here where the pigs are. They're back here now. All right. All right, so he's feeding pigs. All right, Dad, you're not going to the pigs. You're back up here. Sorry, Dad. All right. Now, think for just a second here. The Bible says that when he, Father, saw him afar off, what was he, what do you think, he's just out daydreaming? You know, I think I know that guy. I think he was looking for him. Looking. And one day, and by the way, it doesn't tell, I know it's a parable, earthly story, heavenly meaning, I understand that, but it gives the idea that daily the Father was looking for his son to come back. Young people, I hope you never go wayward. But I find it interesting how good God is to the fallen. Now, by the way, I know if you've never fallen, it's easy to condemn everybody, to condemn those that have. But what that is that's the elder brother mentality, which is a picture of being a Pharisee. I want to tell you something. If it's not you and if somebody else, if they fall, help them up. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Shut your mouth. Well, don't hang around them. You know, they've been out in the world for quite some time. It'll probably rub off on you. You know what would probably rub off on you? Them getting right with God. Do you understand that here's what happened? When he saw him afar off, he ran to his son. The son's walking back from the pigsty. He ran to him. The resemblance of running, all right? He ran to him. He hugged him. Hug him. Just put your arm around him. Put your hand on him. Just this. Just like this. Do you feel the affection? Just be thankful you don't have to kiss him, all right? Do you know what this guy was missing? Now, we're laughing and teasing, but I hope you don't miss it. Here's what he was missing. He was missing the heart of the Father. He was missing how the Father saw the fallen. He was missing how the dad felt about his son who had lived in a life that he shouldn't have been living in. Now, you know, I want to tell you, if you're not careful, some of you will spend all of your days outside the tent because you're a good person. Go ahead, Dad, come back. Go back inside the house. Son, you go with him. You know, I wish some of you could understand that the Christian life is not just about forming ourselves to what parents or preachers want us to be. Now, he doesn't, you know why he doesn't want to put his arm around him? Because he has zero affection for him, which we are all thankful for. Any dating couples in here? Or courting, whatever you call it? Nobody? You like that thing next to you? The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Am I right? Is she a good one? How long you been liking her? Wow. That's quite a while. What's your problem? You don't like girls around here or what? I'm coming back, don't worry. My wife, she's with her sister, I think. She's not in here right now. But my wife, she was a couple years older than I when I came to Fairhaven. And so, but I'll never forget the day I came to Fairhaven. And I landed at the front, coming in that front door right there. And she was by the front desk. And she was wearing a red and blue dress. And she was, and this is before I even knew that I'd ever marry her. But when I saw her, I said, man, there's something different about that one. And of course, I was raised in a Christian home. We didn't date whatsoever. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered because all the girls in our Christian schools were like linebackers. So it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So when I came to college, I was looking forward to dating. I know it sounds crazy. And I know our idea of Christian dating is go to the ice cream shop, used to be over here, going to the ice cream shop together, sitting together in a service. And that was our considered dating. So as a high schooler, I was looking forward to that. Because we never had that in high schools. There was none of it. So I was looking forward to that. So, I can't wait to perpetual dating. I mean, I was looking forward to it. So when I came to college, that's what I did. I wasn't getting serious with anybody. Even though I saw my wife, I didn't date her. So what I'd do is I would go on a date with one of the girls over here, and then I would date my wife to be. I didn't know she was my wife. Then I'd date her, and then I'd go date somebody else, and I'd come back and date my wife. And then I'd go back. She said I did that to 7 girls. I don't believe that. But she kept count. And you know what? My wife wouldn't date anybody else because she knew I was the one. She had more character than I had. So eventually, I decided, no, that's the one. We were talking on the way in. My wife and I maybe it was last night we were talking with somebody. I can't remember. But my wife, she said, she brought up about the time the dorm supervisors used to have a ping pong tournament. Did they still do that? In the men's dormitory, they would have a ping pong tournament. And then the dorm parents would allow, whoever won, would allow you to pick whatever girl you want, and they would bring them over to the dorm apartment, and they would cook steaks. They would grill steaks, and that was the prize. And so you got to have a date in the dorm apartment with whatever girl you wanted. So I brought all 7 of them. I'm just joking. So my wife's got a better memory. She was telling me yesterday. She says, yeah. She says, I was really hoping you'd ask me. She said, And it was one of the ladies still in the church now. She's married to somebody else, obviously. And so, but she said, you took so-and-so to that. I don't really remember that very well. But she said, the next year you won it, and she said, you took me. So when I came to college, I enjoyed that. Now I want to tell you something. Since I've gotten married, I love marriage. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Now, the heart of the father, when you look at Robert to the younger son here, there's zero affection. But I want to tell you something. The more you get to know the thing, the more you want to know the thing. And young people, when you get to that place in life where you want to marry and you become related, man alive, you want a hug and you want a kiss. And you want a hug and kiss. Don't get nervous. That's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're married. I'm going to stay here for a while then. You don't have to get nervous of what God intended. All right, I'm just going. I'm skipping. All right. So what I'm trying to say is this the affection that was shown from the father to that son was one of hugging and kissing him on the cheek and saying, hey, listen, I love you and I'm glad you're back. I want to tell you something. He never got that. You know why? Because he didn't have the heart of the father. He didn't have that attitude. There was nothing. What are you allowing him back for? You know what he did. What are you throwing a party for? Now, young people, I want to tell you something. You can either be outside the tent or you can be inside the tent. Inside the tent is where the Father is. If you're outside the tent, you're going to be pharisaical. If you're outside the tent, you're not going to have the heart of the Father. You're not going to be concerned about lost people being saved. You're not going to be concerned about the fallen getting right. You're not going to be concerned about others. Second greatest commandment in the Bible, love thy neighbor. You're not going to be concerned about those things. It's all about you. Quickly, I've got to finish. Here's the third one. In this passage here, it's very, very interesting what the elder brother says at the end here. Look at verse 29, and I'll be done. Verse 29 says this, "And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet," look at this next statement, "yet thou never gavest me." You know, the reason the elder brother did not go inside the tent where dad was, number one, he was pharisaical. Number two, he didn't have the heart of the father. Number three, it was about what he could get. It was what he was going to get. "Well, you never gave me a kid that I could go ahead and have a party. You never gave me." Hey, I appreciate you guys being attentive this morning, but most of you have been spoon-fed all of your life. And I'm not saying that to belittle you. I was the same way. I never paid one dime for my Christian education. My parents did. The very first time I had to work to pay for my own education was when I came to Fairhaven. I didn't have anything. When I came to Fairhaven, do they still do it that you have to wear a suit coat to supper? Do you still do that anymore? Young people, do you have to wear a suit coat to supper? Thursdays? Well, I want to tell you, 29 years ago when I came to Fairhaven, I did not know it was in the rules that you had to have a suit coat. Every meal you had to have a suit coat on. I came as a freshman with zero suit coats. I showed up for supper. They would not let me eat. Fairhaven. I showed up for supper with everybody else. The person's at the door. "You can't come in." I said, "Okay. Is there a reason? You have to have a suit coat to come to supper." I didn't know that. So I called back home. I didn't get that supper. So I called back home. I said, "Mom and Dad," I said, "listen, I can't eat without having a suit coat. I don't want to starve to death. Can you give me something?" My mom shows up with two suit coats. My mom is a penny pincher. She went to AmVets, the junk store, what thrift store, whatever you want to call it. She showed up with this red plaid striped suit jacket. It was brand new. I said, "Mom, where'd you get that?" She said, "I got it from the thrift store." She said, "It's brand new." I said, "Mom, there's a reason it's brand new." At least the second coat was a solid color. So that plaid, I took it. I didn't. I said, "Mom, thank you. I appreciate it." In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, that was dumb. So then I took that coat, and it hung in my closet. I never wore it. I mean, you talk about the epitome of a used car salesman. That was it. I didn't wear it. So I wore that one suit coat so I could eat. I never had times like that. I never had to deal with stuff. You know why? Because everything was given to me as a young Christian. And I say everything. But I want to tell you something. There comes a time, and college was it for me. But you know, when I came to college and I had to get a job, I worked at UPS. And when we went to UPS, I had to go. We had to leave at 10:30. We started at 12, worked to 5. And then at 7:30, I was back for class. We drove back from Chicago. At 7:30, we had class till noon, had class every day. And then, of course, after lunch was over with, I went and did basketball practice from 1:30 to usually 2 or 3, 2 and a half hours. We did basketball practice. I had just a couple hours. I went to supper because I wanted to see my wife-to-be. And then I had a couple hours. And I want to tell you something. I went from making straight A's in school to making straight C's. And it wasn't because I was applying myself. It's because there was not enough hours in the day. But you know what that did for me? I'll show you what it did for me. Back up. It caused me to get in. It caused me to realize that everybody wasn't going to live my life for me, and that I had to decide if I was going to have a relationship with God or not. And young people, when you finally get to the place where you want to get in, the choice will be completely yours. It won't be because your parents made you. And until you get rid of a pharisaical attitude that you think you're all right from where you are, and until you get the heart of the Father that He cares for people, until you get the mentality that everybody owes you everything, you will never get in. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a few moments? Fellas, thank you. You may be seated. Now listen, I teased with you this morning, and maybe too much. I'm going to tell you this is a very, very serious thing. Because I don't care if you're a boy or a girl, you have to decide you want God. You have to decide it. You stand to your feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. Father, may we just take a moment to pray, and Lord, I'll let Brother Ramos do as far as the invitation, but Lord, I ask you to please help the young people to love you. Lord, to see that you're not just a book, you're God, and you're the Father. Lord, help them to get close to you. Help them to get in. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment as Brother Remus comes.